easier one than some of the others. Though when I started studying it in more detail again, it wasn't easy at all. But anyway, basic disciplines for believers. We've covered three so far. I've written them up here. Bible immersion. Who's going to give me a quick summary of that? You don't have to summarize it. Just give me any aspect of it. There was 5 points. There was a key verse. Any of the above. Go ahead. Okay, reading the Bible. We've actually hit on public reading and private reading too. How many people are reading through the Bible in some way, shape, or form? Good. It's. I still go back to it. I don't think I can point to any one thing that's greater, that has done more for me in my spiritual walk and my spiritual growth than just reading through the Bible and over again eventually. So it really has deepened my walk and my understanding, I believe. So I mean, you see things in context. But what else? Meditating, yes. Meditating is kind of what we talked about. You listen to something, but you have to go and the Old Testament concept for meditating is like talking to yourself. It's repeating it over and over ideas. So, but we need to do it until it becomes part of our thinking, not something that, oh, I remember talking about that once. It's got to be an active doing, which is one of them. There is an application of, you know, doing the word. What else? Joshua 1:8 was the key verse. Yeah, this book of the law, we actually had a song we wrote for it. Shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night. Okay, and it goes on that, I almost have to sing the song right now. I'll spare you that, but that it may be well with you and you may, oh no, that's a different song, isn't it? Yeah, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. That's tied in exactly with what we talked about this morning. Okay. What about prayer? Continual prayer. What do you remember about that? Memory verse or any points? What is prayer? Talking to God. We verified and clarified that prayer is not God talking to us. It's not some mystical two-way communication. How does God talk to us? Through the Word of God, the Bible, direct revelation written down. There's no subjective, did God say this or not? And there's things that God tells us to pray about. There's things that, since He's commanded us, it's not should I or shouldn't I. It might be, Lord, help me to do this. But it's not whether or not we should be doing it. I misspelled yielded followership. I don't even think followership's a word, so misspelling it a non-existent word probably isn't as great of a problem. What is yielded followership? What's another way to say that? Right, submission to authority. And that only applies to wives to their husbands, right? Yeah, absolutely not. We showed you it's in every realm of living, right? Most people, when they think submission, it's just one place, but it's like, no, it's everywhere. If you are in existence, you are responsible to submit to multiple authorities in their realms of authority. Can you name some of those? The government? God is the ultimate authority. Excellent. We ought to obey God rather than man, right? And then Peter came back and said, we will obey God rather than man. Other authorities? The church? Work? Yeah. Thanks for your enthusiastic work. That's right. Bible doesn't say we have to like it, right? Submission doesn't always involve, yeah, I think this is a great idea. In fact, what did we say submission involved? Doing something that you would otherwise not do unless you were told, you know, you disagree, right? Submission assumes disagreement. We also talked about the realm of authority in the home. We're talking about husbands and wives and also parents, children as well, right? So there's lots of realms of authority there. There's even within the Godhead, submission is a divine attribute because the Son submits to the Father. The Holy Spirit, as we understand it, submits to the Father and the Son. Okay? So the submission is a divine attribute. So submitting to authority is Godlike. Okay? Not my will, but yours be done. It to be a disciple, you submit to authority. And sometimes to your own hurt, even. Okay? It's not because you get the best end of the deal that you're submitting. You submit anyway. All right? Go ahead. Right. That's a hard one, but it's not only the good and gentle, but also the harsh and the forward, it says. And who's our example in it? Jesus Himself, right? Who, having committed no sin, did not revile when He was reviled. He didn't revile back. He didn't threaten when He was injured. And it says we are to submit like that. Which is profound. That is something that is good in the eyes of God. And part of it is it goes on to authenticate our faith. It goes on to say in 1 Peter, it says, people take this out of context like no other verse almost, but be careful, how does it say? That you might be able to give an answer to every man that asks within you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And the context is that you're taking abuse that you don't deserve in quietness. It's not being able to argue the Colts into the ground. It's your conduct in the midst of unfair treatment. And the whole book of 1 Peter relates to that. Okay? So good. So all of those, review those, go over those. Today, generous giving. Generous giving. We're just going to introduce it here. And before you look down too much, some of you probably already memorized the sheet. That's okay. I haven't. But let's just brainstorm first. If we are to be like Jesus Christ, if a discipleship involves becoming like your teacher, your master, who is Jesus, let's talk about Jesus and His giving. Is this made up? Or is this just a ploy to get people to give money to religious organizations and pad pastor salaries and the televangelists and all that? Trust me, the sign of a false teacher, one of them, is an overemphasis on money. That's why people hate religion, because they're always out for our money. It's like, well, you're missing the point then, because God doesn't need your money. Okay, talk to us. Is God or God's Son, were God the Father or God the Son, a giver? And if so, I want examples. Yes is a 50% chance. Right. So give me examples. Just brainstorm from the Bible. Okay, from the Bible. Where does that say it in the Bible? Okay. All right, got it. Life, Genesis, got it. Genesis, okay. Okay, God gave His Son, His only begotten Son, right? John 3.
In the Gospel, it talks about He gave His time to people.
Okay, Jesus gave His time, right? To people in the Gospels. He went around doing what? Teaching and doing good, yeah. All right. What else? Where else? Okay, healed. We cannot heal, but we can do what? We can pray for the sick. We can minister to the afflicted. That's one of the things that's listed under a godly woman in 1 Timothy 5, is she ministers to the afflicted. Okay, that's not healing, but it might be even just kind of nursing someone to back to health or whatever, right? So I'm going to put nursing in that way of caring for somebody. Okay, even it could be giving us some kind of financial need in that way. Okay, what else? How else did God give? Okay, and he talked about giving living water, interestingly enough. Says, give me this water so I don't ever have to come back to the well again. It's like, you know, it took a little bit of talk in the transition, but he did. Anything else off the top of your head? Yeah, he fed the 5,000 and others. He gave them the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. To distribute after he gave thanks.
He gave us God's word.
Okay, the word. Okay. I'll put forgiveness here right now. Go and sin no more, right? He never affirmed her sin. Never said it was okay. Go and sin no more. Where are those that condemn you? Neither I that condemn you. Judy? Okay. I'll just put example here. Example of humility. Again, that's giving of a lot of things, isn't it, when you're washing the disciples' feet?
Well, when Martha and Mary were, and then, he stopped by to be in the house there, and one was complaining because the other one didn't help her out to get ready for all the stuff that to come and feed him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jesus spent time again. What else? Anything else? Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. All right. I'm going to erase these, and then I'm going to come back. I don't know. Yeah, there it is. Then we will come back. We're going to go through and start listing. But the first introduction to giving is not how to write a bigger check to church. I think that when people approach it from that angle, they're missing a huge amount of what the Bible has to say. Because it's way more than giving money to a religious organization, even the local church. I start out here, to become like Jesus, we must learn to give like Him. If we're going to be a disciple is to be like Jesus, we become like Jesus, okay? 1 John 2:6 relates more to discipleship than it does giving. But notice here it says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Okay? So the idea that we're supposed to be like Jesus in every way. Now I did segregate some verses up front here. There's a whole bunch of verses. We won't get to them all today. It's a little bit of a homework project for you. But let's just go through these, starting with Matthew 20:28. Notice this. The Bible says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. What are we talking about in giving in a Christian realm? We're not talking money. That's too low of a cost. Is that fair to say that? The money's not an issue if you understand that we are to give our lives. We'll talk about that when we get into it more. The Macedonians who were impoverished, the Bible says, first gave themselves to God and then gave money to people that needed it in Jerusalem. So since God owns me and everything that I have, giving money is not a hurdle. It wasn't a problem. Even when they were impoverished, they still gave when they really couldn't afford to give. They got the issue there. So you might want to circle give his life. You might just want to circle give his life or something like that. Somebody mentioned John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You might want to circle there. You know, I would underline love the world that He gave. And notice here what's involved in this. What's involved here? In John 3:16. What's the motivation for God's giving? Yeah, notice it's His Son. His only begotten Son. It's not giving. And let me just hop on the old bandwagon again a little bit. A lot of people, well, God wants us to give and therefore we give everything and in every way. This has nothing to do with presents under a Christmas tree. It's interesting that God didn't give us those things. He gave us what we needed, not what we wanted, right? That idea? Did you catch that? I'm going to shut this door because I think we're getting a little bit of sound from the Spanish. Okay, that doesn't mean that God doesn't give us other things. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We're in the folks that just came in, we're just on the second verse right here. We're talking about generous giving. And God gives, so therefore we are to be givers. But God so loved the world, what did He do? He didn't immerse them in material things. He gave them the solution to their problem, which cost Him His greatest expense. Okay? It was a self-sacrificing gift, not here, have some money. That would help, wouldn't it? Huh? Here, have your favorite toy. How about a trip or a car or a house or whatever? God didn't do that. He gave us His only begotten Son. So the love was self-sacrificing, and it was because we deserved it? No, He gave us what we needed at His highest cost when we did not deserve it. So all of those things come into play when it comes to giving. Okay? We don't give on the basis of what is deserved. We give on the basis of God's grace, right? Because we have experienced that grace. Galatians 1:4. The Bible says, who gave Himself for our sins. Notice again, if you want to circle that part here, who gave Himself for our sins. He gave Himself, and notice, for the highest reason, that He might deliver us from this present evil age. Okay? Again, I believe that there's a confusion in our doctrine in our churches today that substitutes materialistic giving for eternal spiritual giving. And we think because we've given materially, we've covered our bases, and actually we have not. We've missed the spiritual point. Okay? Giving in and of itself is not my argument, you know, giving somebody something material. But I'm saying if we forget the point, then the material is wasted, if not deified and worshipped. Okay. 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Again, He gave Himself. Kind of a repeated statement here, isn't it? Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works. Notice that God didn't give us Like, Jesus didn't give us Himself so that we could be whatever we wanted to be. You catch that? He determined the terms and He determined the outcome. Okay? So listen, even on a parenting level, do we give our kids everything they want because they ask us? No. How do you spell no? N-O. Spell it to me. N-O. What does no mean? No. Okay. You know, okay, just so you understand what no means. No. So do you get one? No. Okay. We're clear. Okay? Does God give you everything you asked for? And all God's people said, aren't we glad that God doesn't give us everything we asked for? That would make us God, wouldn't it? Kind of scary thing. God answering our every whim would be awful. Okay? But Jesus gave Himself. All right? Is that in any way indicative of what we are supposed to do? Because honestly, the whole money thing is irrelevant if people don't get this. The whole time thing is irrelevant if people don't get this. The whole effort and energy thing turns us into Pharisees. Look at what I've done. Right? Boy, look at I spent one more minute than he did. I gave another dime. I'm above him, you know, whatever. What? So what? Right? And we'll get into quantity later. Jesus said that the woman who gave her 2 pence or whatever it was gave more than all the people here. How could that be? She gave 100%. And that was more than someone who gave even 50%, right? You know, God's not looking at quantity. He's looking at percentage even. I know that sounds funny. But we might give a lot and be sinning by our level of giving. And there might be people that make nothing and outdo us beyond all measure because they give more, okay, out of their, based upon their ability to give. And that's just, that's money. There's lots of giving that we'll see here that some of you have hit upon already. Turn, if you would, it's not in your notes here, but we've referred to it many times. In fact, it might have been even last week. I'm not sure. It's read recently. 1 John. You've heard of John 3. We want to go to 1 John 3. I believe that we have to get to the point, we have to understand that we need to give like Jesus gives, and it starts by giving ourselves. And God expects that. That's not some kind of extracted theology that somebody's making up. That's His very point. If you can understand that you give all that you are to God, then nothing else is of an issue. Okay? Let's turn 1 John 3 and let's start. I'm in John 3, so I'm getting something that's familiar, but not what I'm looking for. Okay. 1 John 3, and it says this, by this we know love. Literally, the Greek is a perfect tense. By this we have come to know love. Okay, and this is the agape love we're talking about here. This is not what the world sees. You know, you help me and I'll help you and we'll all get along together. It's unconditional, selfless, I am doing this to meet your greatest needs kind of love. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. Isn't that what we've been reading about in those first passages there? To give His life a ransom for many. He gave Himself for our sins. He gave Himself a ransom for all. He gave Himself for us. Okay? That's the measure of giving. How are you doing? Okay? That's what love is all about. But for God so what? Loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It wasn't, oh, here's a token. No, here's all that I can give. Quite a different measurement. Do we measure by that? Is God our measure usually for everything? It's like, no, I want to find someone that, from my perspective, isn't cutting it. And then I'll measure myself with him or her. Right? Is that right? And what's amazing is someone's using you as an excuse too. Just so you know that, right? You know, it's like, no. I'm looking at Kevin and it's like, oh, there's my excuse right there. Look at what he does or doesn't do, right? By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also, what's the word? Ought to what? Lay down our lives for the brethren. Now let me give you a little lesson here. It's at least in the King James and New King James here. When you see the word ought, what do you think of? You should. You know, I don't know what it is at your house, but at our house, you ought to make your bed. I don't know about your house, but that doesn't always happen because people interpret it as should. It's a good idea if you got time. You know, if there's no toys to be played with, there's no school to be done, you know, you should make your bed. Maybe. Okay? The word ought here, I'll see if I can spell it first in Greek, and then I'll do it out. But it's O. I believe that's Ophelia, Ophelo. You ought. It is O-P-H-E-L. It's the word for debt or obligation. So understand, when you study the Bible, the idea is not what you think it means, it's what God has meant it to mean. So that's why you have to determine what is there, what is the word that's there. So, ought, it's in the verb form, so it's we are obligated. So let's put that in there and see how it sounds, okay? By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also are obligated to lay down our lives for the brethren. Does that change anything at all? Yeah, it removes the choice, doesn't it? All of a sudden, and by the way, I'm supposed to lay down the lives for the brethren. Well, does it give me a list of conditions? And unless? Does the verse go on to say unless? Oh, it doesn't, does it? Well, we haven't read the rest of it yet, but it relates to this. But it's like, unless they don't treat you nicely. Unless you, does that relate to Jesus at all? Did people treat him nicely, even those that followed him? Now, I wonder what the words in the garden were. It's like, Lord, help us to follow you. No, if I were to insert words, it would probably be, run for your lives. And Peter's response was, Jesus who? What are you talking about? I don't know this man. You know, I'll die for you, God. Jesus who? All right? Jesus died for him anyway. Okay? He washed your feet. Someone mentioned washing the feet. We are obligated to lay down our lives for the brethren. So it sounds like there's a debt involved here. Do we understand that? It's not
out of the goodness of my heart. I will do this for you. I'll even, you know, open the door.
You know, what's that? That sounds like a prideful thing, right? Look at me. It's like God says, no, you're obligated to die for him. So the whole opening the door thing, not a problem. Not a problem, right? In fact, it goes, we'll come back to this another time. Let me read on. You're obligated to what? Die, lay down your life for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods, hey, you have an abundance, and sees his brother in need, if I have extra, they don't have enough, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? The answer is, it doesn't. Okay? Your expression of God's love is non-existent toward that person because you aren't acting on that love. It isn't a conditional thing. It's an unconditional. It's like you are obligated to die for that person and you won't even share stuff that you have extra. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue. I think that's where they get the word talk is. Okay. But in deed and in truth, love is action, right? Verse 19, by this we know that we are of the truth and we assure our hearts before Him. I'll just stop there. But that's the idea. You know, we're obligated to die for one another. What, share my candy bar? Are you kidding? You know, you know, we're missing the point. We're obligated to die for one another. That's the thing that God has placed on us by example and by purchase. Right? Jesus did it, so we should follow His example. But also, we are now obligated because He has done so. We are obligated to do just that as well. We're part of His body. We are to do what He did. Okay? Questions or comments there? Sorry, I'm just checking my... Just making sure my wife's okay. It wasn't my wife, so ignore. Okay. My point today is simply God has given everything and we have to start there. Jesus gave Himself for us. That's where we start. Instead, we look at all of this stuff is mine here. I'll give you some of my stuff. I'll give you some of my time. And it's like, it changes your whole perspective. And I'm not saying this is always easy because I think I've shared I was born selfish at an early age. But the idea is you have that sinful nature that says this is all mine and God says, I didn't hold anything. I didn't hold anything back. Philippians, turn over to Philippians 2. Giving is motivated by what God has done for us and by Jesus' example. Look at chapter 2. And let's start at verse 1 because it runs into this, okay? Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. That, by the way, that's a part of giving. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now notice this, because this ties into what it's going to say here in a minute. So catch the context. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Does that affect how we give? If we start accounting... Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. What is conceit? Well, I deserve this. I'm better than they are. I worked hard for this. Right? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Consider others better than yourselves. Is that involved in giving? Whether it's time, energy, effort, or money? Yeah, it is. You have to capture that. You are placing other people more important than you. It doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form. You're esteeming them. You're just placing value on them. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but what? Also in the interest of others. Would that affect our giving at all? We're not looking for anybody else's needs. I'm kind of busy now. I have to tell you a story. My kids will know this. sometime in the past, it's been a couple of years, I think maybe even a few more than that, but someone went into our playroom. I may have told you this story before, but it's one that's indelibly imprinted in our minds at our house. I believe it was Makari. There was a shelf or something that had fallen on Makari. It was a dollhouse. So she was under this dollhouse. Not a life-threatening thing, but she, as this little girl that she was stuck. She was scared and she was crying. And like a few feet away was her sister, Mary. Older sister. And someone walks up because they heard this cacophony of terror and noise, you know. And they pop in and there's Makari crying fearfully underneath this dollhouse. And there's Mary playing. And someone, I don't know who it was that discovered who or whatever, but it says, Mary, help Makari out from under there. And she looks at her and says, I'm playing. Yeah. I'm occupied right now. Isn't that like us? I'm playing. I'm working. I'm busy. Mary's real analytical and logical, so in her mind it was okay. When I get done playing, and if you're still in trouble, I'll help you out. You know, I got a half hour yet, you know, or whatever was in her little mind. And they're all very helpful, but that was her mind, you know. But let's just keep going on. The interests of others, we're supposed to be, that tells us that we're supposed to be aware. Okay? Number five, verse five now. Let this mind, notice it's the same mind, the one mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus Christ. I don't think it's changing subjects. Okay? He just said, let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also on the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Talking about the same thing. Looking out for other people, not just for yourself. Who, being in the form of God, by the way, form, it's not like saying He's like God. Being Godness, if you will, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And the idea there is not something to be held on to. Okay, you've got everything. You're the creator of the universe. You deserve to be honored. You deserve to be glorified. These angels are night and day saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And folks, He deserved that. Okay? He didn't consider that something that He was unwilling to give up. Now, pick your highest valued item. Whether it's status, whether it's belonging, whether it's privilege, whatever that is. And He said, guess what? That's negotiable here. I'm not holding on to that. Even the benefits and privileges of deity. He did not give up His deity, but He gave up all the benefits of it. It's like being a prince. I'm putting it way down on an earthly level, but being a prince, but not getting prince, being fed like a prince, being treated like a prince, being clothed like a prince, all of those things. He gave all of that up. Is He still the prince? Yes. But He didn't consider all of those benefits and privileges something to hold on to. Notice, keep going on. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Okay, how would you like to go from all-star to nobody knows your name? Well, that's nothing compared to God, who the angels and even the demons, when He was on earth, I just read it in Mark, where the Gadarene demoniac, remember, he what's your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. This guy was indwelt by many demons. And as soon as he was in the area, they rushed over to him and said, Son of God, what have you to do with us? That's the kind of attention he got in heaven. And then he comes to earth and nobody knows him. And in fact, they talk about him, considering him an illegitimate child. They mock him. Even his family thinks he's insane at one point. Come on, let's go home. You need some rest. Remember when they lowered down that the paralytic, and his family is out there thinking that he'd gone out of his gourd. Okay, this Jesus slipped off his cracker. We need to put this guy away somewhere deep. Okay? That's the attention he got. When he had no one knew what he was, who he was. And by the way, he was in complete obscurity for over 30 years. That would be a little bit of a change, right? You have people in the Great Depression that lost everything. And you go to where they have nothing. The privilege status is... Jesus stepped down was infinitely more than that. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant. I mean, this guy was, think of it as a laborer or something. Okay? And coming in the likeness of men. Okay, and how many of you here would say like, oh, like I would become, if I needed to be, I would go and be live like a pygmy in Australia, or I'll live amongst the cannibals of Africa or something. It's like, no, do this. You would need to become an amoeba. You know, you're missing the step down here. Creator to created being, the form of a created being. He wasn't a created being. But I'm saying you missed the step down. It's that big. He didn't hold on to anything. Coming in the likeness of man and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. All right, okay, you're already an amoeba. Now you're going to be a humble amoeba. Okay? It's hard to fathom, but you're not even going to walk around with an air of expectation. You're going to serve the amoebas that you're around. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. All of that, he was getting what he didn't deserve. And he went through all of that for you and me. That's what giving is. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. The Bible says, it goes on to say that. I believe that's involved in giving as well. I was doing some study in this, and I was like, well, I have to get to this. He goes, Jesus is at some judgment seat, and he's talking to people, and it says, enter into your reward. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me, and all of these things. And they said, Lord, when did we do this? And it says, whenever you have done any of the things to the least of my brethren, you've done them to me. Does that change giving at all in your mind? And then other people, he does the same thing. Well, when would we give you? You know, we never saw you naked or whatever. It's like, well, in as much as you didn't do it to these, you didn't do it to me. It's like, oh, that changes giving in every way, doesn't it? That changes our entire perspective on giving. So we're going to get into that more. And so far, we're not talking about the offering plate. Giving is way bigger than that. I think the offering plate is just one small aspect, but if you miss that, you miss everything else. Okay? The giving and the offering plate to some is sinful. Because they're giving, thinking they're giving God something, you know, rather than honoring God with what God has given them. It's just all backwards, okay? Questions or comments here? And you know what? Some of that's true. Churches that, I believe that churches should speak on giving. We're doing that. You know, eventually we'll get to the offering plate. But if that's all you do, there's something missing in that church. Televangelists, you know, whatever, give money, da-da-da. Right, no. And I believe churches lose opportunity. It's not wrong to talk about it, but it's wrong to talk about it without explaining to people what's going on. And also, if that's your emphasis, if that's what people hear, they're missing the point. That's a sign of false religion. We'll talk about that. Yeah, because of the whole rejecting God. And, Yeah, and it's like, it's kind of the whole I don't go to church because all the hypocrites in it. It's like, well, where would you want hypocrites to go? You know, I think that's a good place for them. You know, hey, that's a start. You know, you got them to the doctor's office. You know, I mean that's my question anyway. So. What else? Right. Right. And yeah, and by the way, it's not just give, it's give to my ministry. Yeah. And God will honor you or whatever. So I believe God honors our giving. It isn't necessarily a, you know, one for one kind of thing, but I know that God makes what's left last. I can testify to stuff like that. The bottom line is that the whole giving thing is not to get, for sure. It's to say, God, you're wonderful and you are first in my life. That's what giving is. God doesn't need your money. God, I'm sorry. He spoke the universe into existence. Why not just say platinum, diamonds, jewels? You know, it's a heart problem. It's something that God allows us to do to help us stay on course, I believe. So, Ted, yeah. Yeah, life's not easy either. And it doesn't mean you'll have everything you want, right? We already talked about that. We're thankful God doesn't give us everything we want. Just like we don't give our kids everything we want. On purpose. How do you spell no? N? No? Okay, go to Ted. I believe that God rewards in this life even. In fact, he told the disciples that any of you have left, did it say wives, houses, lands, will be rewarded in this life and the life to come. But it isn't necessarily with a fat wallet. I believe that if by following God, for an example, if you have to give up family, God will give you family. It may not be the same family, but God will give you family. He'll give you blessing. You know, like Paul says, I know how to be abased or abound. I know how to be hungry or full. It doesn't mean that you'll always be full, but you're in the greatest satisfaction, place of satisfaction that you've ever been in, even if you're hungry. And God can answer that if he wants. Maybe we'll tell the Darlene Deebler story. You know, read that a little bit sometime. Just fascinating. He can do what he wants. So, and that's the key. That the bottom line is that God is the giver, and also, he might say no. How do you spell no? You know, it's like, oh, so you want me to be hungry. You want my eyes or whatever Paul's ailment was. I asked him 3 times, and guess what? He said, how do you spell no? I know. How do you spell no? I know. You got that down? Okay, so you got another plan. Oh, that's to keep me humble. That's to keep me in my grace. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. You can know me better by having this ailment, then if you had it, you'd be prideful. You would be whatever. It's like, okay, go for it, God. You know, if that's the way it takes to make me weak, no one can say, wow, look at Paul. That's what God wants. So. Your homework. Got all week to do it. Put it on your kitchen table or whatever. Just go through these and identify, circle them, underline them, however you want it, what God has done. These are just in kind of a biblical order, not... They'll be repeated items. But just the idea of God is a giver. So go identify these things. One of the things that he gives you out, that several verses refer to, for example, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It's an earnest gift, kind of a guarantee. In fact, that's a biblical word. It's a guarantee that God is going to finish the job. Things like that. So, but just go through. Give us this day our... Yeah. Oh, wow. So I should expect God to be able to just give me today's stuff tomorrow may not, I mean, oh, I got food in the fridge. Well, anyone here have a fridge fail ever? Anyone ever be broken into the house? Or lots of things, you know. So, anyway, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your gift of your Son mostly, and help us, Lord, to be givers because of what you've done for us, what Jesus has done for us. Lord, help us to understand that our obligation is to give our lives for the brethren. And Lord, help us to understand that everything that we have is from you. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. Lord, help us to just thank you and to honor you by everything that we have all the time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.